podcast in the world. From WWE to DNA Impact, by way of the NWA, it's time for Reffin' It Up with legendary referee Brian Heppner and guest host, Mr. Reffin' Rant himself, Jimmy Corderas. An all-new episode starts in... This is Reffin' It Up.
Welcome back to Reffin' It Up. I am RJ. I am joined by the greatest referee of all time, Mr. Brian Heppner. Brian, what's up, man?
RJ, what's up, buddy? How you doing this evening? We're going to try and do something that we don't do often, and it's not because we want to, it's because we actually have to. And that's the fact that me and you have to coexist by ourselves without our second referee, which would be Jimmy Corderas, who has some personal issues that he had to take care of. And of course, here at the Reffin' It Up podcast, we value family needs and things of that nature. So of course, we have no problem with him not being here, other than the fact that he cannot control me and you. But I will do my best to work with you tonight, RJ. And we'll try and have a good episode, which I think we will. We made it a couple weeks back without Jimmy, so I think we'll be okay. I will be in a good mood tonight. I'm very excited about tonight's episode. This is something different for us, and I love it. Anyway, I just wanted to explain the hiatus of Jimmy, but it should all be fine.
Yeah, definitely. So shout out to Jimmy. And shout out again to Daniel Spencer last week for helping us out of a jam, obviously, without power for about 4 hours last Tuesday. And of course, everything that has to go wrong here usually happens on a Tuesday and sets us back. But thanks to Daniel and everybody involved to make everything work out. So, definitely looking forward to this week as well, Brian. But before we bring our special guest in about a half hour, give or take, which will be Dave Richard from CBS Sports, why don't we send it up to our first count?
This is your one count.
There was a lot of moving and shaking last week in professional wrestling, and this time OVW gets better. I didn't think they could get any better, but they are getting better each time, in each day. They announced last week that Mickey James has joined OVW as a creative director and head of female talent. In addition, she'll be the executive producer for all OVW wrestling shows, and this is all according to Fightful Select. So, Brian, we've had Mickey on the show before. You worked with her in TNA. Great hire by OVW.
Wow. I even put out a tweet that said, I don't know how this came to be. I don't know how OVW got this lucky. I don't know how they pulled it out, but they did. And this is good for both parties involved. This is excellent, excellent news, in my opinion, for OVW. This is like going over a mountain and you're not barely there yet, but you just got over it and now you're going down it. It's wonderful, wonderful news. And I'm so very excited for not only OVW, but I'm excited for Mickey James. She also released a tweet where she said she wanted to give back. OVW was the reason that she is what she is, and she wants to give back. And believe me, I know that girl. I've known her through WWE. I've known her through TNA. We're personal friends. We both live in Virginia. We're both from Richmond. But believe me, she's going to put all of her effort into OVW and make it the best that she can be. And you can't ask anyone better to step in and do executive producing for their show and being in charge of the creative director and head of females. I mean, my goodness, what a great hire. And you know, what's cool is like next week, I know I'm saying this early and giving the cat out of the bag, but whatever, we're going to have OVW's, trainer and who knows what else he does there. We'll figure all that out. But we'll have a ex-WB talent, Doug Basham, on, who is in OVW. Can't wait to hear the insight and the things he's got to say too. So that's going to be exciting for us next week as well. But man, what a great, great hire. I really just simply don't know how they pulled it out. And good for them. Cahoots.
Yeah, she made the I guess we could call it a surprise appearance at their last pay-per-view there in Louisville at Davis Arena. And a great pop. It really was. Obviously it was a surprise. They promoted Mick Foley being there, but they didn't promote Mickey being there, and that came out to a great surprise. And like you, excuse me, like you said, Brian, it is a homegrown talent that goes back home, and the sky's the limit. My bet is, if I was a betting man, this isn't going to be the only person that comes on board with OVW, because as you know, we did that 3-part series when wrestlers came out. We're having Doug on next week, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last time we're going to have OVW talent on the show. But they
Hey,
got the right person.
also too, RJ, you got to remember, if anyone listened last week, with EC3, he kind of said something that I'm trying to figure out what he meant, but he said some special things were coming between the NWA and OVW that he was trying to do and put on his back. So very interesting. Very interesting. And I can't wait to see where OVW goes, man. And not only them, but NWA, maybe they will do something together. And that would be awesome. I mean, both companies could use it, and it would be amazing. So we'll see. He kind of let the cat out of the bag in some other ways too. Kind of let kayfabe go away a little bit, brother.
You get me all choked up, man.
Good Lord, RJ.
Getting me all choked up over here. I'm so excited with this OVW news. But yeah, it's definitely going to wait and see. NWA obviously is doing great things. Obviously because EC3 is their champion. So definitely looking forward to what's coming up in the near future for everybody involved. Last week, we're gonna have a little AEW talk now. Is Dynamite's rating last week garnered its fourth lowest audience in its regular time slot since NXT moved to Tuesdays. However, the demographic 18 to 49 rating rebound from last week, the previous week, to their near record low. But man, Brian, it's, I don't know if it's just a matter of the times and stuff that's going on. People are out on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights or whatever, but man, AEW keeps, they keep going down, man.
Yeah, I mean, once again, I want to start the whole thing right here with we're not trying to beat them up. We're just talking about the obvious things that are going on in the wrestling world. And let's just be honest, their show is fun to watch. I'm not going to lie and sit here and say it's not. It just doesn't all make sense to me. It's like throwing things at me, and it's just like it just wants me to figure things out. I don't want to figure things out. I need a booker to figure things out and show me what I'm supposed to be following story-wise. And I think that's their problem. You want to say something, RJ? Go ahead.
Well, you brought up the Booker thing, and it's something that I've always thought about. Listen to other shows, listen to podcasts, listen to, just, comings and goings of other wrestling fans and people in the business. But it just seems to me that that's the one thing that's missing here is Tony should just be the boss. He has enough talent there. You have Jerry Lynn, Mark Henry, Paul White, Dean Malenko, Matt Hardy's there, Jeff Hardy's there. You got enough people there, Jericho's there, that have enough time in this business and have the knowledge of this business that can say, hey, Tony, back it up a little bit. Let us take the day-to-day. Let's get this, the booking end of it. You handle the business end of it. Whether it's, and this is obviously just my opinion, but I just think he wants to do it all and he can't. He's going to get burnt out way too quickly.
It just seems to me, you ever heard the phrase, some people can't see the forest through the trees? You ever heard of that? I just think that, God bless Tony, that he's that guy. I don't think he sees it. I don't know. I don't know. I just don't think he can see it. And his tweeting, defending things all the time kind of reminds me of another T that did the same thing when he was in a higher up position. that just doesn't know how to be quiet. You know what I mean? And that Twitter stuff has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. That's just stupid shit. But right. The part I'm talking about is basically maybe getting someone or a couple other people in there to give you, you know, help. I mean, they brought in Jimmy Jacobs from TNA with a lot of experience with booking and things like that. I don't think that TNA was too bad when Jimmy was there, in my opinion. I'm sure he could help give him some direction as well. But long story short, without going elongated here, the show's not as good as it should be, period. If it was, the numbers would be different. They're not growing. Their numbers are not growing. They're either staying steady in some weeks or they're dropping. They're not growing. And until they do something different, because it's not talent. They have plenty of talent. We just established that. It's got to be storylines or lack thereof. And their show each and every week just has to be more to it. I don't know, man. I'm just not as entertained as I am with everybody else's show. Put it that way.
Well, but you look at the other shows too. You look at WWE, you look at TNA, and you see people like, you know, when Vince was in charge, he had, as you know, he had all these secondary guys, all these other executive producers, Kevin Dunn, that he could say, hey, go do this, go do that. So he doesn't do it all. Yes, he would be the end all be all. Hey, yay or nay kind of thing. And even with TNA, you know, you got Scott there. He's producing a lot of it, but he also has a number of other people there, whether it be a D'Lo Brown, Tommy Dreamer, Lance Storm, whomever, to say, hey, why don't we do it this way? Or, well, that's great. We can try it, but why don't we try it this way next time? You know what I mean?
No, I do. I totally do. And I just think that, I honestly just think that, listen, I want to say that Tony has done a lot for the business as far as creating jobs and giving people options and doing all this. And I appreciate it more than anything. And I like Tony Khan. I've met him several times. Actually hung out and drank with him and stuff like that. So I know the guy. He's an awesome dude. He really, really is. And I think he means so well. I just think that sometimes when it becomes a place where you kind of hit the wall a little bit, you should maybe ask for help, or if you don't ask for it, just bring it in and say, hey, I'm hiring this guy to be whatever you can call a position and let him help out. Tony, I don't think is going to ever let go of the reins. And there's another thing I wanted to bring up. You know, AEW has been really good at being in a town for the first time. Really, really good. They draw really, really well. Well, this week, they are going to the North Charleston Coliseum in South Carolina. And that's tonight. All right. And that's where they'll be tonight for tonight's Dynamite. Now, they're set up for 2,510. You know, 2,500, 10,000. Oh, good God, Brian. I know. Don't shake your head. All right, for you listening right now, he's just shaking his head like I don't know how to talk. I do. I'm trying to. The number's too small for me, actually. they're set up for 2,510 people. They have distributed 2,198 tickets. There's 312 of them left to move, which that all sounds good. You would think the night before, night of, you can get rid of 312, sell it out, get it. Here's the problem. The actual setup for an in-stage show or in-stage production, which basically means that they come out the ramp of one side, use that area to come down and put the ring in the middle. That's what they call an in-stage production, okay? Not a concert where it's at one end and then the rest of it's all used. They're using an end and coming down with the ring in the middle. When you do that in that Coliseum, the setup can range from 7,000 to 12,000 people. So if you go back to the number I just said, what they're set up for, 2,510, that is blocking the entire building off. And I'm not knocking them at all. But what I'm saying is this matches the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
People want to come see what they see on TV. Apparently, this is down in the South. This is a wrestling hotbed. Now, I don't know about North Charleston as much. I've been there 1,000 times. Don't get me wrong. I don't remember if they were hot shows or what, but all I can tell you is this. I know that TNA, when I was there, was doing close to that number in some of our house shows down there. And this is their TV, their Dynamite. It just, and they draw so well. They're the best, I think, at going to a town for the first time. And I was just shocked by this number. And that's why I brought it out. Not to beat up on AEW at all. I mean, you know, the number that they had set up for, the number they've distributed is a good ratio, 312 left. I mean, yes, they'll probably sell it out for their setup. But that building is massive. You could do between 13 and 17 for a concert. I don't know. It's just, I don't know. What do you think, RJ?
Well, do you think they're trying not to overdo themselves or something like that? Or they, you think, hey, if we set it up for 7,000 and we only get 3,000, it's going to work. It's going to look bad either way. So why don't we set it up for, what did you say? 12, like 22 or something.
Well, I mean, so I think what they're doing is, I think they're going by what they normally sell. They're about a 3,000 ticket seller for every, I mean, every place they're about 3,000. So I think what they're doing is, you can always say, let's do 2,500. Mm-hmm. That is. And if we do more than that, we can open up sections.
Yeah. Well, that's a thing. It's just like, you know, if, who knows, you're going to get there and, you know, people are come, they want to, you know, walk up attendance or whatever. That's always possible too. As you know, you travel with WWE TNA for as long as you did. You get some walk-up traffic too that say, oh crap, I saw such and such on the side of the highway or whatever, or I saw you guys are coming, hey, I want to come to the show, and here's, you know, whatever, $20, $25, whatever, you know, whatever the ticket is, and say, hey, let's do this. But I don't know, maybe, like I said, I haven't been, you know, in that aspect of the business before like you and Jimmy, but I would think, hey, why don't we aim high? You know, even go to like 4,000. That's, you're talking the southeast of the state of the U.S., which is a hotbed, like you said, for professional wrestling. You know, maybe not this specific city, but, you know, as you know, wrestling fans travel, dude. You know, fans will travel 10, 12 hours. I saw somebody, shout out to Clint Carroll, who drove 12 hours to go to the NWA show down in Florida this past weekend. So you have dedicated fans for each of these promotions that will drive, you know, between 8 to 12 hours in a car or fly or whatever to go see these shows. And that's what you want.
Well, what you're referring to is what we call a walk-up town. And there are many walk-up towns in the country. And I'm assuming that someone privied them and gave them a little information that said, hey, look, this Charleston, South Carolina ain't a walk-up town, you know, and that could be. There are places that you get what you get, like Richmond, where I live at. We are not a walk-up town. Richmond is not a walk-up town. You sell, you may get a couple hundred more than that, but you're not getting thousands more people. They're not walking back up there. They decide one way or another, I'm either going to this motherfucker or I'm not. And guess what? There's a lot of places like that, but there are a lot of other places that wait till it's closer and they get a lot of walk-up and a lot of feedback. And that comes down to advertising too, as well. So anyway, that's another whole subject. I'm not meeting up with you. I am not. I swear it may sound like it. All I'm doing is putting out facts. These are facts. These are facts. We both just said the numbers for ratings and the numbers for this actual setup in North Charleston, South Carolina are not made up. These are numbers that are out there if you want to look them up.
Yeah. And these are all the numbers we ever talk about or ever the, you know, whether they're the tickets, I believe they're at WrestleTix for the ticket setups, as well as WrestleNomics for all the numbers and the ratings. So it's out there, folks. Go online, check them out. And, you know, we're not spinning this stuff. That's for sure. But
also, RJ, real quick, if there's anything else too that's about this, anything that's good about this is this. And the range of price tickets are $20 to $80. You can go there, guys. If you live in South Carolina, get your butts to AEW. You can get a ticket for $20. I can't even watch my local AAA baseball team for less than that. All right, let's go.
Yeah. And it's good talent, though. It's good talent. But anyways, speaking of good talent, we saw a debut this past weekend in Las Vegas for TNA Hard to Kill. Nick Nemeth, formerly known as Dolph Ziggler, appeared at the end of the show after Moose won the TNA Heavyweight Championship. One of the, I'd say, the biggest free agent out there until he obviously came to TNA. But is this the shot in the arm that TNA needs for 2024, Brian?
Nope.
They need, you would think they're a little bit more?
Well, here's the thing. And just so everybody doesn't think, yes, I just beat up on AEW. No, it's my opinions that I give, and I'm giving my opinions now. And this goes to a company I used to work for and retired from. Don't get me wrong. Excellent talent, excellent grab. He's going to do great. I mean, the matchups that you can potentially have are just wow. I mean, wow. I've already heard about a couple of them with Josh Alexander and Mike Bailey, and the list goes on and on and on. Moose. I mean, you know, a bunch. But this was supposedly going to be an announcement or a debut that was bigger than Kurt Angle, is what Scott D'Amore said. I don't think this quite gets to that scale. I'm sorry. I just don't. And there's nobody that can convince me that this does. Don't get me wrong. It's a very big signing, and I'm very happy for them, and it does help them. It does. It does help them. And I should probably be waiting, like everyone else, and patient to see what it does for their numbers on Access TV. But I don't think it's going to make it a huge number and a huge increase week over week. I just don't. Kurt Angle did that. Kurt Angle brought mainstream wrestling over to TNA. I think this can happen to a degree, but not to a Kurt Angle degree. But this was a great free agent signing for the new 2024 TNA Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, it's definitely, like I said, it's a shot. I think it's still a shot in the arm to at least get some eyes on the prize. Eyes will be watching this week on Thursday for Impact Zone. I don't even know what they're calling it now. I think it's TNA Impact. I don't, whatever the case may be. We'll have to find out on Thursday on Access TV. But I think it's going to be good for the business, good for this promotion, good for TNA. Like you said, when you try to compare it to the debut of Kurt Angle, you can't really, that's not, doesn't really do it just, where Kurt Angle is that much bigger of a signing. Not to disparage Nick Nemeth by any means, but you know, it'll do a little bit. We'll wait and see. I think it's just a wait and see game. See what else they do. You know what I mean? Who knows? This may not be the only one.
Well, listen, we don't have to sit here and be nice, RJ. You can say what you want. I mean, it doesn't matter. We have freedom of speech, and here's my freedom of speech. It's this. It's simple. It very simply is this. Is he a great signing? Yes. Is he going to help that company? Yes. But how much is what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He is a talent. I mean, he is a talent. And he will be utilized by Scott D'Amore and TNA. But my main thing was that where I was more let down than anything is to compare him to signing of Kurt Angle. It's just not there for me. It's not there for me. It really, really isn't. And I don't think there's any free agent out there that could be right now. Has there ever been? Yes. But did TNA sign them? No. So I think it's great, but I don't think it's going to be as great as people are probably anticipating. Once again, we'll see. And by the way, I think it's going to be TNA Wrestling, and their show is going to be called Impact, by the way.
Right. No, I completely understand that. But something else that I have been understanding quite a bit has been our Reffin review.
This is Reffin Review.
This past week, we saw a post on, I believe it was Facebook, from WWE referee Jason Ayers that he will be out 4 to 6 weeks with a leg injury. I saw it was a broken leg. Man. One of the good ones, we talked about him on the Stripes Awards as one of the top referees of last year, this past year. Man, just another tough break. No pun intended.
Yeah, well, I mean, if this kid can break his leg and be back in 4 to 6 weeks, he's a fucking machine. Don't get me wrong. Listen, injuries suck. They happen to referees, too. I mean, referees are in a violent world too. They're in the way. You know what I mean? And then people don't understand that. They think it's just a simple throw on a striped shirt, get in the ring and count 1, 2, 3. If it was that fucking easy, then everybody would be doing it. But injuries happen, man. It's part of the game. And injuries don't bypass referees. They don't. They can happen to us, to them as well. You have to remember the movements we do, the things we have to do and get in the way and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes, you know, I blew my knee out. I was out much longer than 4 to 6 weeks. But, you know, it happens. It's a freak thing. And that's why staying in shape, staying hydrated, things like that, stuff really comes into play. It really does. And I'm not saying he's not doing that. What I'm saying is, now, RJ, before I keep going, now, is this supposedly something that he did when he was working in a match?
From what I saw, he did post a video of something on SmackDown that he was a part of. It didn't really show. I couldn't see anything. That doesn't mean anybody else didn't see anything. But I didn't see anything specifically that was shown that how he broke it or injured it, whatever the case may be. All I saw was that he was out and with a leg injury, broken leg, what have you, and it's up in a boot.
I need to know how he did this, but anyway, that's another story. What I wanted to touch on basically is just that injuries happen to referees too. They get hurt. We have lots of movements that we do that aren't natural. There's things that we have to do. I mean, and you know, my injury when I blew my knee out was simply doing a leapfrog over Jeff Jarrett. Landed down in the ring and boom, popped it. Done. See ya. Bye. I woke up the next morning. I was in my hotel room and actually had to have someone that was staying with me because of the fact that we stayed together all the time on the road. Actually have to put me in the shower, which was embarrassing as hell, because I could not move. I was literally crying and thought my career was over because I had never experienced an injury this bad. And but it happens. And it didn't avoid Jason Ayers either. So for Jason Ayers, I hope you get well soon. I hope your injury gets healed up soon. If you're back in 4 to 6 weeks with a broken leg, my man, you are a robot.
Well, like I say, one of the great ones out there, and hopefully hurries back, gets healthy and all that good stuff. But something we will do, we'll head over to our sponsor this week, HelloFresh, and we'll be right back in our second count with Dave Richard. Whether your resolution is to save money, eat better, or stress less, HelloFresh is here to help you do all three. Say hello to the most delicious year yet with fresh ingredients and chef-crafted recipes at a price you'll like delivered right to your door. Each HelloFresh box is packed with farm fresh ingredients and everything arrives pre-portioned right to your doorstep for less hassle and less wasted food. Don't let recipe boredom strike because HelloFresh has more options than ever before. Dig into the biggest menu yet with over 45 dinner options to choose from weekly and even more market add-on items that suit any lifestyle. So you've resolved to actually sit down and eat dinner around the table. But what do you do about those nights when your schedule is packed? Turn to HelloFresh's lineup of quick and easy meals, including their 15-minute recipes designed to help minimize mealtime stress. This time of year, everyone's looking to revamp their eating habits. Look to HelloFresh's wholesome, health-forward options like over 30 calorie smart and protein smart recipes each week. Every month, we get sent a box from HelloFresh. My wife and my son absolutely look forward to the box each and every time because we get to do it as a family and we get to save time and money so we have time to be together as a family. Go to HelloFresh.com/refinfree and use the code refinfree, that's refinfree, for free breakfast for life. One breakfast item per box while subscription is active. That's free breakfast for life at HelloFresh.com/refinfree with the code refinfree, refinfree. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
Is your two count.
Welcome back to our second count. I am honored to welcome in senior writer for CBS Fantasy Sports, an all-around good guy, Mr. Dave Richard. Dave, welcome to the show, man.
Man, RJ, I've got you fooled. All-around good guy.
I was just getting ready to say, first of all, how are you, Mr. Richard? And secondly, I'll determine that by the end of this fucking show, whether you're a good guy.
Exactly. I'm doing great, Mr. Hebner. Just, you know, stay away from me. I don't want you to find any of my objects that are hiding somewhere in my gear.
Oh, okay. We're bouncing right off the NFL right into wrestling. Hey, before we start, let's talk a little wrestling. What's your thingamajiggy with wrestling? What's going on with that? Touch on
my thingamajiggy with wrestling.
That's a drop right there.
Yeah. I used to be just the biggest wrestling fan back in the 80s and 90s, and then again in the late 90s, all of it with WWF and then WWE. I'll tell you, man, I haven't been as dialed in a long time, so it's been a while. But I do, you know, like I'll read, you know, recaps of Raw or SmackDown or Dynamite. Not necessarily every week, just kind of whenever I remember, oh, if something happens, or if I hear about something happening. Like, I had no idea that The Rock was on, what was it, SmackDown or Raw? Yeah. I don't even know which one it was a couple weeks ago, but I found the video of it. And I know the Royal Rumble's coming up. I know that Punk's back in WWE, and I was a huge Punk mark. But yeah, I started watching wrestling when I was like 8. I was at a friend's house for a slumber party. It was Saturday night's main event. Hulk Hogan got Pearl Harbored by King Kong Bundy and Don The Rock Morocco. I know you guys know that moment in wrestling history. And I was hooked ever since. Went to a bunch of cards at the Rosemont Horizon. And then I managed to get a gig being a professional, I don't know how professional it was, but a wrestling writer and content producer for a site called WrestleLine.com. So it was like a wannabe dirt sheet. I can say that now. It's been like 20 years since I worked on it, but it was part of like the CBS Sports network of websites. So I was like the wrestling guy at CBS Sports. That was like my first big break out of college. And I turned that into covering the NFL for NFL.com while working for CBS. And I turned that into being a fantasy football writer. And who would have thought that professional wrestling was the perfect like world to like be immersed into to be ready for the National Football League? The similarities between the two are pretty stunning. There's, you know, out of this world characters in the NFL and out of this world characters in pro wrestling, and you know, the physicality of it all. It's crazy how it all works out, the unpredictability of it all. And been doing fantasy ever since, full time since 2005, and I credit pro wrestling as helping me get my start, my foot in the door, so to speak. So love wrestling, just don't love it as much as I did when I was a kid. You know, I'm almost 50 now, but and I haven't been to a show in years. But I appreciate and admire what you do, Brian, and what Jimmy Corderas does, and what everybody who's in the wrestling business does.
So Dave, let's back up for a minute. You said you used to be really into it. Are you now not as much because of time that you have, or is it because of the current product?
No, I hear about it all the time from my friends and social media about like what's going on. From late July until like the Super Bowl, basically, I'm locked into football. I don't have time for anything. Like my weekend lasts about 12 hours. I get out of work late on Friday, go to dinner with my wife. Saturday, I wake up, take care of chores around the house. Maybe if I'm lucky, I get in a lift. And then Saturday night, I'll have dinner with the wife if there's no football on. And then I'm up bright and early Sunday morning to get ready for our stuff on CBS Sports. So there's just no time during the football season for me to, you know, kick back and watch Raw or SmackDown or any of the AEW shows, any of the TNA shows. Like, there's just none of that. There's time for none of it, honestly.
So I'm sure you have ran across a good friend of mine quite a few times. And if you haven't, I'll be so shocked. He is on WWE's The Bump, Matt Camp.
Know the name.
You should. he is very big, or was very, very big into fantasy football. He was actually a guy that I depended on each and every fucking Sunday when I was doing fantasy football. And man, we're going to get into it, but God, he was God awful wrong sometimes, but Jesus Christ, surprised me. It's like playing Vegas, man. I get it, but we're going to get into that. And it's crazy. I can't wait. Cause I'm super excited. Like, so you have to remember. So we typically have the same theme and dance for our show, and we're trying to branch out a little bit. And you're really one of our first guests that we kind of branch out. And I think it's great because a lot of our listeners, I think, are male, I would think, according to RJ. RJ runs all the women off. So, you know, we're mostly male. And I would say that a good jump to something different, which is NFL, fantasy football talk, and wrestling mixed combination. So, I mean, you're a good guest, man, right now. Right now. Right now, I'm saying.
I love it. And I always appreciate going on podcasts that are not fantasy football centric. Because I'm on, you know, we do our own fantasy football podcast on CBS Sports called Fantasy Football Today. We record it live 3 times a week during the off season on YouTube, every day during the NFL season. That's also on YouTube. And then you can download it wherever you like to listen to your podcasts. And then I'm always a guest on all my buddies' podcasts. The people that do, you know, a fantasy show, you know, whether it's independent or part of another network or whatever, they'll ask me to come on. And it's always nothing but fantasy. And so now finally, it's exciting to be on a show where I can talk about something other than fantasy, even if I'm not like fully immersed into professional wrestling right now. I think I can still hang. I think I can. I think I know all the players that are still out there and all the the wrestlers that are out there. You can see where my head's at right now, Brian. but yeah, without question, there's a lot of crossover between people who play fantasy football and people who watch professional wrestling. And it makes sense because both are awesome and both are fun. And, you know, no one can really win as a fan of professional wrestling, but we all get into the storylines and we all get into, you know, what's going to happen in each match and, you know, how, you know, Cody Rhodes and his story, right? Like, as an example, you know, I'm sure a ton of people out there can't wait to see Cody finally become champ, and it's taken him over a year to do it, almost 2 years to do it, just as an example. So maybe that's the way that fulfillment of winning is done that way with professional wrestling. But in fantasy football, and you know this, Brian and RJ, you definitely know this because you just won your league. It's all about picking up those wins in fantasy, making the playoffs, and then going undefeated in the playoffs to win your league's championship. Definitely a lot of crossover, definitely a lot of similarities between the two.
One more thing, and I'll let RJ step in here. But I have to ask you, politely, why is that Dallas Cowboy fucking?
That's right. I did a little research. You're a Commanders fan, right?
Well, we don't have to bring that up, but let's just say that I always get an extra week every year. Every year I get an extra week of football to watch Dallas get their fucking asses handed to them. Bounce out the playoffs while we're the actual winners. We're sitting at home resting our guys, getting them all healthy for next year, and we get a second round pick. Fuck you, Dallas.
Mm-hmm. not just a second round pick, the second overall pick. So you're going to get a great quarterback. You're going to get a great coach as well. The story, first of all, I am not a Dallas Cowboys fan, so do not hold any ill will against me. But one of the people who I learned a ton from was a guy named Gil Brandt. And Gil was the VP of player personnel, basically. He was basically the general manager of the Cowboys for about 30 years. Yeah. And when I worked at NFL.com, I was his ghostwriter for about 4 years. So I talked to him every day. Learned everything about the front office and certainly a lot about scouting from Gil, and his gift to me when I went on to do fantasy full time was this Cowboys helmet that's signed by Peyton Manning, who was never on the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know if you're ever going to see anything like this, and just big emotional attachment for me because it came from Gil. May he rest in peace. The guy was amazing, and he was very, very good to me.
Okay, so RJ, I know I said I'll give the floor to you. I have to finish up this because I was getting ready to tell you before the story came in. I was getting ready to tell you to turn your ass back to black, so I don't have that fucking story.
I can do that if you want to, Brian. I don't want to get kicked out of the show.
No. You're fine. I got fired up. I'm over with them, so it's all good. RJ will tell you I get fired up from here time to time, but it's that wrestler mentality. You know what I mean?
Hell yeah, I get that. I love that.
Well, but I completely understand majority of the time, Dave, because he is a Washington fan. So I think he's been, suffered enough. But being a Bills fan for over 30 years, everybody's like, oh, you guys are going to get jinxed because it's me. I'm like, dude, do you have any idea what the Bills have been like for the last 30 years? I'm already jinxed. But yeah, it's just, I think I caught started watching your stuff back I want to say I was out of college, so I think it was like probably about 2007 2008, and it's just been ever since then, and it was me and my buddy, and it's the same, it's the one league that I've always done since about six or seven, that it's just the handful of us, it's like eight teams, but it's the same eight guys for the last number of years. And it only took me that long to win a freaking championship this year, but good things take time.
Yeah, I mean, that's my fault for not having you win a championship earlier than that. If you've been paying attention to us since 2007 or 2008, goodness, yeah, that's a long time for you to go without winning a championship, RJ, so that's on us. But that's like right when we first started doing our podcast. We began a podcast, and this is Fantasy Football Today. I think it was like 2008, and it was just me and Jamie Eisenberg, and he's one of the other fantasy guys that we have at CBS. And we just went into a room, and we had 45 minutes, and that was it, to go and put something digitally out there for the world to listen to. And we were told at the time, yeah, guys, go ahead and knock yourselves out, but we don't really think that podcasts are going to, be a thing. We were told that. There was a woman who worked for us who told us that. The woman did not work for us much longer after she told us that. So it's crazy how long I've been doing this for, and you'd think by now I'd be really, really good at it.
But
well, if I was really, really good at it, I'd win my league every year, and yeah, you, RJ, would win your league maybe every other year. Brian would win his league. I don't know how often Brian wins his leagues, but you guys would win a lot more if I knew exactly what was going to happen, if I knew exactly what was going to go down every single Sunday. Now, we have a pretty good beat on it every single week, but we're predicting human behavior from 22 people at a time, 17 weeks a year. So it's a little tricky to get it right every single time, but we do a pretty good job.
So here's what irritates me. Here's what irritates me. We have local weathermen here that don't know shit, apparently. I'm sorry, Dave, but please don't kick me off my own show. But aren't you kind of considered that way? Like, it may rain tomorrow with a 50% chance, and then, of course, it's nothing but beautiful blue skies, and then it's going to snow an inch and a half, and that you get 3 feet. It's kind of like, I don't know, pick a running back. He's going to have a huge week because he's playing against this terrible defense and he doesn't do shit. But wouldn't you kind of fairly say that you guys could be kind of compared to a weatherman?
Sure. It's very fair to say. And like a traditional weatherman, he probably went through years of training and trial and error, and probably did not start telling people the weather in major metropolitan cities. He probably started in like little small towns and maybe even worked as an assistant before he even got on TV. And with years and years of practice, he actually started to get better, and he understood what he was seeing and what he could forecast. And no weatherman is perfect. There's no question about it. I would say a weatherman is probably more accurate than any fantasy analyst on the planet, because despite all the training that I've had, and I've already told you, like a literal NFL general manager taught me what to do. Okay. I didn't even get to the former Buffalo Bills head coach who I was a ghostwriter for 3.5 years that RJ is going to be knocked over by. He already knows who it is. I don't have to say anymore. Okay. But I learned a lot along the way.
Whoa, wait. I don't know. Who was the ghostwriter in Buffalo? Who are you?
I mean, I was his ghostwriter, but every Sunday I'd talk to Marv Levy to go over the games from 2003 to 2006.
Wow, good for you, man. All right, you're going to stay on the show for the entire
Okay, so that's like one of the things that I think helped me stand out from it. Actually, it's our whole crew. We all come from different backgrounds. So my background was, you know, working with people who actually worked in the NFL, learning how to read or watch coaches' film. Literally today, I was looking at coaches' film of Michael Penix Jr., because I've got to write a scouting report on him before I go to the Senior Bowl next week to study him in person and talk to him in person. We're with CBS, so we've got all kinds of access to the coach's film. We get it the same day of the game, maybe a little later, maybe the next day we get it. But I study that all the time, and I see if a player is improving or declining, how he looks coming off of an injury. I've got to be the one to gauge whether or not he'll be a lot better coming off the injury, or if this is the guy that he's going to be for the rest of the year. Jamie Eisenberg, I mentioned his name. He's a former NFL beat writer. All right. He's covered 5 Super Bowls. He's followed the Miami Dolphins around for a couple of years. So the guy knows what he's talking about, and he's been in, you know, more locker rooms than anybody in the fantasy industry. Heath Cummings is a projections whiz who's been doing fantasy football. This is one of my other colleagues at CBS. We are not guys that, you know, that come home from their regular job, look at like 1 or 2 pieces of data and say, okay, here's who you should start and sit. Now, those people, like if they can do it and they can do it with accuracy, then they've figured out a much easier way to do it than I have. But at least I can say, all right, I understand how a player is being used. I think that a player is going to continue to be used that way, or I might say otherwise. I think about the matchup, and I don't just go, oh, yeah, this defense is bad, don't worry about it. No, there's reasons behind why a defense is bad. They allow a lot of explosive plays. They have a lot of missed tackles from week to week. Maybe a team is coming off of a game where they played a lot of snaps on defense, and so the next week they're going to regress. Maybe the team is coming off of an emotional victory. The next week they're going to regress. It's on me to kind of figure it out and put the pieces together to come up with a determination on whether a player is going to do well or not. But the ugly truth to fantasy is that most of the time a player does not do well outside of the best of the best. The guys who you either drafted early and just they start the season hot, they usually play well. I'm thinking of Christian McCaffrey or Tyreek Hill. Those guys are always good. Or the players that you steal off of waivers, like Puka Nacua this year, or Kyren Williams this year. Those guys were awesome, and they kept getting good opportunities. So outside of those few players, man, most players, if they're good 50% of the season, that's great for fantasy. And so what your objective is now as a fantasy manager is get as many of those elite players as you can, and then just hope that the other players that you start from week to week, maybe it evens out to where they're good over the balance of the season, but 1 week they're high, 1 week they're low. You're hoping that maybe like of the 5 or 6 players you start, half of them have a good week, and then the other half are just okay. And then maybe you put together a great week where they're all good, and once in a while you'll put together a week where they're all bad. And so if I could accurately predict what every single player was going to do, I probably wouldn't be working for CBS. I'd probably be, you know, owning my own company in Vegas and being banned from every casino in Las Vegas. It is truly a prediction of human behavior from week to week. And the other part about that's just absolutely sick. And I'll give you a real life example from this season. Okay, there was a game earlier this year where the Titans played at the Dolphins. Miami's defense had been playing great against the run. Derrick Henry wasn't playing on third down, so he was a 2-down player. literally the only way that he was going to do well in that specific football game is if he scored touchdowns. And so whenever I'm faced with a player like that, I'm going to rank him accordingly. I don't think he's going to get a lot of yards, but maybe he scores. Maybe he gets you like 11 or 12 points in a point per reception league, PPR league. And the dude goes out and he has two touchdowns and he had a terrible rushing average, barely played except in the second half, he barely played except when the Titans were at the goal line. And then he was in, and of course it's Derrick Henry. The guy's built like Brock Lesnar basically. And he can score a touchdown from 1 yard out. No problem. It doesn't even matter who the opponent is. He can do that. And so it totally wrecks a ranking. It ranks a prediction. And there were people that started maybe 10, 12 other running backs, but they wish they had started Derrick Henry because he had the two touchdowns. Those are the hardest things to predict, is whether or not a guy's going to score. It's much easier to predict how many touches he's going to have in the game, what the game script's going to be. I lean on that most of the time. And I've got, data on how much a team gets thrown on or a team gets run on. And I'll use that data, compare it to the tendencies of that offense that I'm talking about, compare the two, and then make an estimation on how they're going to do from week to week. So it's probably a lot like what a weatherman would do. A weatherman probably has his or her data, and they make an assumption based on the data that they have, and they hope that they're right. But you never can guarantee what the weather's going to be from day to day, and you can never guarantee what a player is going to do from week to week.
Do you know that this is – I think you'll like this. When I was working at TNA, there were, and I wasn't aware of this, but there were online bets through Twitter, I think. Someone brought this to my attention. I had no idea. Of course, I don't pay attention to that kind of shit. But there were online bets of, because I was the main event referee for TNA for so long, mm-hmm. and I always got my ass beat. Okay, so there were online bets that whether I would get my ass beaten, how it would happen, and who would do it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was like a drinking game. It was crazy. It was like they would say, okay, for instance, Bobby Roode defending his championship against Samoa Joe. And they would say, oh, Brian's definitely taking a bump in this one. Fans would say, no, it's going to be a clean finish. It's going to be whatever it is. No, he's going to take a bump. Well, what kind of bump? And then they would say, it's going to be from Samoa Joe, or it's going to be from Bobby Roode, whatever. It was insane. And it's kind of like Vegas. You know what I mean? Like what sure. you're talking about. It's everything to me is built to Vegas.
Yep, it is. And that's where fantasy started. I can tell you this story. So I first, when I was promoted off of the wrestling website to NFL.com. The NFL wasn't sure if the internet was going to be a big thing in 2001. Okay. So they had an auction to all the different sports media sites for who could run their website for them. And so we at CBS won the right to produce NFL.com. That's how I got my foot in the door with Gil and with Marv. And, I had a reputation at the office as being big into fantasy football. And back then you were a dork if you played fantasy football. And this is at a sports media company. We had one league in the whole company and I was in it and I won it, but it was crazy how like fantasy wasn't a big deal even all the way back in 2001. So 2003 rolls around and someone from the NFL calls us and says, does anybody at your office know anything about fantasy football? We want to have some fantasy football content on NFL.com. And somebody answered the phone. I'm like, yeah, Dave can do it. Dave talks about fantasy football all the time. And so I was the NFL's first fantasy writer because they weren't sure just whether or not if it was going to catch on, and B, if it was too close to gambling. And that was right. The point that I was trying to make, is that was fantasy football too close to gambling? And my rationale, and I talked to this with people at the NFL at the time, was that it was not, because have you ever tried playing blackjack for free or poker no. for buttons? Have you ever played craps where the prize is like a couple of peanuts? It's not as much fun.
No, that's not.
But you could play fantasy football for nothing, just for bragging rights. And I don't think you'd call it a waste of time. You know, the chance to beat your brother, or your coworker, or your buddy. And even though there's no prize, maybe you get a trophy at the end, but there's no buy-in and there's no prize. It's not gambling. It's just a fun activity. And sometimes there is money involved. And so I think the NFL learned over time, clearly, that it is not necessarily gambling. Although now you can make bets on how many yards a player is going to get, how many carries a player is going to get, how many catches a player is going to get, or how many fantasy points they'll get. There are now sports books that are out there where they set an over under of 13.5 PPR points. And if your player gets the equivalent of that in their fantasy league, you can win money on that. So it definitely toes the line between gambling and not, but I think you could play fantasy football without money being involved. But you're right, it all does go back to Vegas and gambling and all that stuff.
Yeah. All right, so guys, why don't we do this? Why don't we send it up to our third count, and we'll be right back with Mr. Dave Richard.
This is your three count.
We are back in our third count, and we have on our show this week someone who thinks he's very smart in fantasy football. His name is Dave Richard. Mr. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. And we are in our third count. This is where we have fan questions. We have questions from us. We have questions from RJ. It's going to be a pound and ground kind of thing. So let me just start off with this. I'm reading through my show notes, and I see that you must have placed a bet, and you lost a bet to none other than a guy who carried a snake around his whole life and in a lot of people's childhood. And his name is Jake the Snake Roberts. Would you please like to touch on this stupid bet you made?
Oh, man. And it must have been 10 years ago. Jake was new to Twitter, and Jake was spouting off about who would win the national championship. And I think it was Alabama and Notre Dame, and he took Notre Dame. And I called him out on Twitter, and I said, man, I think Alabama will win. Let's make a bet on it. And I don't even remember if we actually made a bet on it. But we became fast friends. And after that, we had an agreement where we would both pick every game against the spread. And whoever had the better record would win the bet. And if Jake won, I would have to go to DDP's crib and do DDP yoga with Jake. And if I won, Jake would have to come to CBS Sports, and he'd have to work a day at CBS Sports. So, like, you know, work as a secretary, answer the phones, clean the bathroom. Who knows what we would have had him do, but Jake would be at CBS Sports for a day. And Jake kicked my butt. I mean, he beat me by like 15 games. It was embarrassing. And so I flew up to Atlanta, and they recorded the whole thing about me doing DDP yoga with Jake. And it was, honestly, it was one of the coolest experiences in my life. Literally doing DDP yoga in Diamond Dallas Page's living room. And this is back when DDP yoga was just starting to become a thing. Now it's exploded. It's everywhere. And it's amazing. But I did it. I'm standing next to Jake Roberts doing DDP yoga, following directions from Diamond Dallas Page. And I paid off the bet. And there's a video on YouTube that you could look for. I think all you have to do is search for like Dave Richard, Jake Roberts bet, and it'll come up. And it's hilarious. And it was great. And those guys are amazing. And I can't say enough about Dallas Page and what he's accomplished and what Jake has accomplished. Because remember, once upon a time, Jake had a lot of personal problems, and he's overcome them all. And like now he's back with his wife and living in Las Vegas, and he's occasionally on TV, and he's got his life back, and he seems really happy. He's got his own podcast now. But that was an amazing moment and a crazy bet. The only thing that I regret was that I got my butt kicked by Jake the Snake.
Yeah, but at least you could have said, hey, I got my butt kicked by Jake the Snake Roberts and all that good stuff. It's those little things in life that kind of make you think and make you tick a little bit.
I've had a lot of bets that I've lost, and I didn't feel good about it after I lost them. That was one that I felt really good about. I guess the other regret I have is that I didn't stick with DDP yoga, as you can see. So if I had stuck with DDP yoga, I'd be skinny like you guys.
Well,
like Brian. Anyway, he's clanging and banging. Seriously, you know, every time, every show, Dave. And this is, you know, if you anybody that listens to the show regularly, they know. Anytime when he's not wearing a hoodie, he tries to pop Jimmy and myself. And of course, you can't pop Jimmy Corderas on with anything, really. So I'm sitting there. I got to look straight forward because he's flexing. He's, you know, he's doing one of these. And I'm like, I got pipe cleaners and he's got like bazookas over there.
Yep.
But it's just, I don't know. Anyway, so that went into the weeds a little bit, but so we talked a lot about, you know, what got you in wrestling. What got you in, obviously, into CBS and fantasy sports. But so often, you know, there's only so many weeks of fantasy football. What does Dave Richard do in the off season? Am I, do you, are you a, do you knit at home? Are you a basket weaver? Do you, you know, you go, you have a badminton court outside and you play badminton with the wife? What?
I'm pretty boring. In fact, at the end of our podcast today, our host asked us, well, what'd you guys do this weekend? Name something fun you did this weekend. And I came up with a blank. Like, I watch football. And what do I do during the offseason? I get that question a lot too. I watch football. I really do. Like, I'm about to start for the next 3 months watching nothing but college tape to get an understanding of the next generation of players that you're going to be drafting to your team. And it's my job to find the next Puka Nacua. It's my job to find the next Bijan Robinson or Jahmyr Gibbs is a bad example, you know, but you get my point. The next Zay Flowers, I guess. It was at about this time last year when I started talking about how I thought CJ Stroud was the best quarterback in the draft class. And it was also about this time last year when I told people if I like Stroud, I didn't love that he landed in Houston. And so if I had to pick one rookie, it would have been Anthony Richardson. Who knew that it would be Richardson who would get hurt, but we saw a glimmer of what he could do. And now it's going to be on me. And this is probably something I'll start doing in May, is going back to watch the film from the NFL season. And I guarantee at some point I'm going to watch every single snap that Anthony Richardson took and double check and make sure that he looked like the guy who improved from his college days and not someone who looked just like he did in college. And then I can say that and use that to help build the case for people to draft him as a breakout pick. Cause no one's going to take him in like round four, or round five, they'll take him in round eight or round nine. They're going to be worried about him getting hurt, but I think he'll do that. So what do I do during the offseason? I vacation a little bit, you know, I go out once in a while and try and get away with the wife right before the season starts. But you know, outside of like family events, I got a lot of family events coming up this off season, but I work, man. I grind. I love football and I bury myself in it.
So with that being said, do you ever get a player, like, let's just say I'm making this up. I don't know what you said about CJ Stroud and his future, sure, what you said, but like a guy, it doesn't matter who it is, that says, oh, is that what you thought? Because he balled out and you didn't think he, you know, he thought that you bullied him. Do you get that feedback from these players?
From the players, no. It doesn't do me a lot of good to talk to the players because most players are just very, you know, they'll tell me that they're going to, I once had a player tell me they're going to run for 1,000 yards and catch for 1,000 yards in the same season. And the player was a tight end. So players are usually very, very confident in their abilities. So I tend not to listen to them. It's the coaches that I tend to get a lot of good information and insight from. It's beat reporters who I know. It's, you know, other people that are around the game. Those people tend to help me out more. And almost none of them come back at me with, well, you were way off on this guy or terrible on that guy. And it happens, you know, like, was Richardson a bad call because he got hurt, or was he a bad call because he had a couple? I mean, honestly, he looked good and he put up numbers in the two games that he actually finished last year, but he got hurt. And so some people might say, well, he was a bust because he got hurt, but kind of happens in fantasy. I mean, one of the most reliable players in fantasy football is Nick Chubb. He got hurt in week two. It happens. It's pro football. It's the ultimate, you know, it's I don't even know what to say at this point with injuries. You already know, you know, it's a differentiator with players. You could be totally bought into a player for being great and I can't miss and all that. And then he tears his ACL and you're left with a zero. And that's just how it goes. I don't know if that makes a guy being a bust or not, but it's on me to figure out, aside from those injuries, whether or not a player is supposed to do good, great, amazing, or terrible. And then I try and give that advice on those players to people who listen to our shows and read what I write and all that good stuff.
Do you think players respect what you do? Do you think that they kind of, you know, look up to maybe and listen to what you're thinking about what they'll do?
I think some of them do, but most of them don't. Players have, I think they learned at a young age to tune out the outside world and focus on listening to the people that matter in their lives. So whether it's their parents, you know, their position coaches, their head coach, as they get older, it could be their agent. And obviously if they make professional football, the coaches that they have there, I think they tune out everything else. And I think the least of their concerns is what a fantasy guy who goes to, you know, some preseason games and a couple of training camps and never shows up during the regular season, what they think of their performance. Now, what I will tell you is that there are a lot of NFL players who play fantasy football. And I think that they at least, I don't know if they necessarily like with grand respect buy into what we say, because like there are players that play and we say bad things about players. We say this guy might be terrible this week. Austin Eckler plays fantasy football. Austin Eckler did not have a good finish to his season. It's definitely not personal. I would love to, you know, grab a beer with Austin Eckler sometime or, you know, talk about life with Austin Eckler. He seems like a fascinating guy. But sometimes I see what I see and I go, yeah, he just doesn't look right. I hope he gets better. I hope I'm wrong. But sometimes I'm not. And he finishes the year kind of slowly. And that happens from time to time. And I don't know if players that play fantasy football really care about what we have to say. I'm sure if they do hear it, they might be motivated to prove us wrong. But things happen, man. And players, for whatever reason, again, going back to that, you know, we're trying to predict human behavior. For whatever happens in a game, it is what it is. That's what football is.
Have you ever been spot on a player that nobody else did or not main? You were just like, hell yeah, I'm the fucking man.
I try and do it every year, Brian. Every year I try and come up with a player who's like my sleeper. And I almost always take pride in finding a player that you've never heard of. But I'm going to tell you that this guy is going to end up being pretty good for your fantasy team. And so one year there was a running back in Washington who I was watching their preseason games. And I noticed that he seemed to be a good fit for their offense. But if you go and look at their depth chart at the time, he was buried on their depth chart. So I reached out to a friend who I knew was friends with someone on the team. And I asked him, I said, can you find out if this guy's going to end up being good? And he said, sure, hold on a second. And he texted me back like an hour later. He's like, the player doesn't know this. You can't say anything. He's going to be good. And I said, oh, don't worry. I'm not going to say anything except to the people who I do, you know, who listen to my podcast. And so that whole summer, it was basically a month, I was telling people, draft Alfred Morris, get him on your fantasy team. Who is he? People were emailing me. This was before Twitter, and they would email me back. I went in my draft. I took Alfred Morris in round 10. No one in my league had a clue who he was. They'd never heard of him. They all go, who? And then Alfred Morris is a rookie. And Brian, I know you know this. He had a monster year. And then he had another really good year with Washington after that. So he was one of those guys. Darren Waller was one of those guys. This past year, it was Jaylen Warren with the Steelers. And he was okay. Like, he was a player that you might have picked up off waivers otherwise. But he wasn't like a dominator. I wish I'd come to the table with Puka Nacua or Kyren Williams. What I can tell you about Kyren is I had him ranked higher than most people, but I didn't necessarily buy into him as doing what he did this year. That surprised me. That was something that I just did not see coming. But that I try and do that every year. And on the flip side of that, just to wrap that up, on the flip side of that, I try to find the players who I think are going to be terrible and call them busts and say, I don't want to draft these guys. I make a list every summer of guys I don't want to draft, and then I don't draft them. And it usually works out pretty well.
Was Morris in that draft class with RG3? I know they played together.
But I'm saying that... Yep. Okay. They were rookies together.
Gotcha.
So you talked about, really getting into fantasy football in infancy or in the early 2000s there. And, you get that, oh, if you're playing fantasy football, you're a nerd, just like, hey, you're a wrestling fan back in the day, you're a nerd. It's kind of turned the other side around now where you like wrestling, you like fantasy football, you're a freaking cool ass dude.
Hell yeah.
But hell yeah. But even looking at it now, you're obviously being as deep into the industry as you are and will continue to do so. What's the biggest misconception, if there is any, about fantasy football?
About fantasy football, the biggest misconception.
Like I said, and there may not be any, you know what I mean? It's just like, okay, well, just anybody can do it. Well, yeah,
Well,
I
sure, but
guess you could.
that's being a fantasy football writer. So
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were asking about like my job. I mean, I've already been challenged just on this show by Brian. I was telling Brian, like, no one's
Weatherman.
ever challenged me before on that being a weatherman, right? So I don't mind defending myself because, it is what I do and it is what makes a living. There's definite misconceptions about what I do. A lot of people think that now that the regular season's over, I'm, on a beach in Cancun and I do absolutely nothing for the next 6 months. And then I magically figure out everything that's going to happen when training camp opens. But
Yeah.
I think I prove that that's not the case just by doing the podcast as often as I do. So there's that misconception. The misconception that, anybody could do this job. Well, I mean, sure, people can make picks. I usually when people reach out to me and they say, you suck and I could do your job, I said, okay, fine. You're going to email me back with five players that are going to kick butt next week. Five. You can pick any five you want. Let's see how many of them you get right. And almost always it's like two out of five that they get right. And they'll name Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. It's like I told you, man, not everybody dominates every single week. That's just, it's the nature of the beast. And then a lot of people have a hard time talking on camera, talking into a microphone, writing clean content, being able to edit their own content, filing stories on time. Do people know what they're watching when they watch coaches film? There's a ton of stuff that I do that's that you don't even think about. That's related to my job that could be related to being a weatherman too. Every weatherman that's on TV, they stand in front of the green screen and they move their arms and they know exactly what they're going to say and they can read a teleprompter perfectly. A lot of people can't do that. Like that's a talent.
So Dave, I want to close out with this question right here. It's a trick. And I want you to kind of think about it a minute.
You
And
got
if
it.
you respond right away, then just fire off. We've established what you do now. Okay. But if you were approached by someone or even Tony Khan and wanted to challenge you and bring you on board as a writer, would you bet on yourself and try and do that type of thing? And what would be your approach if you decided to do that? So, in other words, or was that question clear?
You talk about being a writer for pro wrestling.
Yes.
I've interviewed for that job.
Okay.
I was still working at WrestleLine. It was 2000, maybe, no, it must have been 2001, where WWF at the time posted a job for a writer. And I had made contact with Jim Ross, and I asked Jim Ross if he could put in a good word for me, I'm going to apply for the job. And about a week later, I had documentation from Stephanie McMahon's office to write a script as a tryout for the WWF.
All right,
And
let's back up for 1 second.
go ahead.
So you knew Jim Ross, or just
Not even personally, but he knew that I worked at WrestleLine. So he just him knowing who I was from WrestleLine, and also Jim's a friendly guy.
right.
He had confirmed news for us before, and so I took advantage of that acquaintance to kind of throw my hat in the ring to be a writer for the WWF. Let me see if I can shorten the story. I wrote a script. They liked it. They flew me in for an interview. I interviewed with Stephanie. I probably was the worst interview in the history of writers interviewing with Stephanie McMahon.
Okay.
I bombed it. I got reprimanded by Stephanie McMahon, rightly so, I might add, for asking about what the vacation policy was from WWF. Okay. I deserved it. I had it coming. And I even apologized in the moment. I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. I'm sorry. And despite bombing the interview, she asked me to write another script. And I wrote another script and I did not make the final cut. And so if let's say I did make the final cut and they did want me to be a writer, I would have had to have made a very difficult decision, because at the same time as me getting that opportunity, I had just met the woman who became my wife. And I am not very certain that I would have been able to keep up a relationship with her while also working out of Stamford, Connecticut. And so now you're asking me if I got the chance to be a writer for any company, AEW, Impact, anything. I'd have to strongly think about it. I really would, because I think I'd be good at it. I think I'd be fun. I think it would be fun, I should say. I would just have to make sure that I don't overthink the storylines where they're too convoluted. You know, it's almost like the WWE storylines these days. It seems pretty straight up with what they're doing. AEW, a little bit more complex. I would probably lean toward that and being a little bit more like AEW, where there's layers to the story. But I have to think about it. That would be fun. That would be an interesting dilemma if I had to have that, Brian.
Would it be something you'd walk away from and actually you'd just be like, you bet on yourself and take it on?
Well, I mean, if the decision is that job or the job I have now, I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things that would come into play. How much travel would be involved would probably be at the top of the list. Because right now, you know, I travel very little for this job. You know, the month of July and into August, I'm on the road a lot. And I'm going to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama in a couple of weeks. But it's not like I go to the Combine every year and then the draft and then every week I'm at a different game. It's not like that at all. It's much easier for me to do my job if I'm in one place watching all the games instead of watching one game at one time. So those factors would have to come into play. You know, maybe if there's something in between where like I'm a consultant, and I don't have to do all that travel, and I could still maybe dabble a little bit in the fantasy, that could be something that works out.
Wait a minute. Now you want to be a fucking Paul Heyman.
Well, no, here's a thought. You could still touche. That's what I'm going for. There you go. There's your in. You could be the come up with a online fantasy WWE, because I know they used to do it years ago and it never really did that well. I don't think, obviously.
No, that's why, like, it doesn't exist now.
Yeah, there you go. I'm like, there you go. I'm like, there's the, you know, why not?
Can't have a fucking fantasy league for fucking wrestling. I mean, come on.
You could. You got to think about it a little bit.
I mean, yeah, you could have one at your fucking office if you want. I'm saying it'll make sense.
Yeah, well, each their own, I guess.
Have you guys heard about like Royal Rumble pools?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Toward it. Maybe it's just at every, you know, premium live event, you've got a pool for that night.
Yeah.
Everybody draws a name out of the hat or something like that.
Look at that
for the whole card.
Look at you, Dave. Even using the right terminology, the premium live event, the PLE.
No, I'm not a total mark. Come on.
Well, I mean, you acted as though you didn't give a shit no more.
Oh, but, no, I give a shit. I can't commit the time to watch. Yeah. There's a lot of wrestling on these days.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is I retired from wrestling to be at home, run a family business, do my thing, be while I'm good and healthy and all that stuff. And I hooked myself by doing a podcast with fucking RJ. And now I got to watch this shit all week.
You're never going to escape it, Brian. It's in your blood.
I know, dude. I swear. I love
And
wrestling.
here I am poking the bear. I just like poking the bear. It gets those contents, get on those websites, and
Wow. But anyway, hey Dave, I want to say this, man. This has been absolutely amazing. I've loved this, and I could keep you on here all night long because I'm a huge NFL fan. As much as you are a wrestling fan, I'd rather talk your stuff than mine. But
Cool.
thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy, busy schedule and joining our show and being open and honest. And I'm hoping you had a great time. And dude, well, I'd like to have you back on, man. I'd like to have you back on in the off season when you don't have nothing to do.
You got it. I had a great time too. I love being challenged. That was something that I wasn't used to and wasn't expecting. And no, it's all good with me. Hell yeah, let's do this again sometime.
Absolutely, dude. You want to put out anything for you, social media wise? Anything else you want to get out there?
No, I mean, listen, I already talked about the podcast. It's called Fantasy Football Today. You can find it on YouTube. Just go to YouTube, search for Fantasy Football Today. Literally 3 episodes every week during the offseason about fantasy football. One of the secrets, and I learned this way back in the early 2000s too. One of the secrets to winning at fantasy football is to pay attention to the NFL all year round. And we help you do that on our podcast. So if you go to YouTube and you search for Fantasy Football Today, you'll find us there. Like and subscribe. You'll be alerted to every live stream that we do. And you should watch every show that we do to help you play better in fantasy and win your league more than once every 17 years, however many it was for RJ.
Wow. RJ,
I
that's
still won though. I still won.
yeah. 1 out of 17 still isn't great though.
I'm
One
the
out of
Buff I'm the
seven is
Buffalo
okay.
I'm the Buffalo Bills of fantasy football.
I don't remember the Buffalo Bills winning 1 out of 17.
No, that's this year.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
Well, they are on fire, I have to admit. They're on fire.
Yeah. I hope their defense is healthy for the game against Kansas City. Otherwise,
We'll
I'm not going to
see.
want to talk to RJ for like a week.
Yeah,
Well,
I'm used to it by now.
guess what, Dave? I got to talk to him next week, and that's not going to be whatever.
Oh, I'm sure you're going to rib him like crazy if they lose that game. That's
Probably,
going to be
probably.
that will be an entertaining listen.
I would never rib my good buddy and friend and pal RJ like that.
See, he can't even say it with a straight face, Dave. You know that? He can't
I
even
know,
say it
I
with a
see
straight
it.
face
I
anymore.
see it.
You can see that the cheeks kind of twitching a little bit, and
Right.
I'm like, whatever.
I am such an angry fan right now. I would jump on everybody's bandwagon.
Yes. But you've got a lot to look
Awesome.
forward to because of the Commanders with their draft picks and all that. You guys are loaded now.
I'm sure we'll fuck it up. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. I think things are going to be different now. Owner, it always starts at the top in pro sports, and it looks like you've got the right kind of owner now of that team.
I agree. I agree. Well, thank you for giving me some confidence before we get off this podcast. I need a little confidence. I gotta
Sure.
you off and then end it with him, meaning RJ.
Guys, if you guys aren't following Dave Richard and CBS Fantasy Sports Today or CBS Fantasy Sports Today, what I forgot, I'm so excited I can't even remember the name of it. Fantasy Sports Today. But anyways, go over, follow him on YouTube, all that good stuff. Man, Brian, it's well, nice little change of pace, you know, have him in. I knew he's a big wrestling fan, so definitely good to have him in too.
Oh, he was awesome, man. I had such a good time. There was questions I had, and I tried to pin him in a point and make him aggressive, and he liked it, and you know, had to defend himself because he's a weatherman, is what he is. He's a weatherman.
That'll be the
But
t yeah. There's your title of the show, Weatherman.
weatherman of fantasy football, right there.
There you
But
go.
yeah, but the thing is, it's just good. It crossed. Cross brands things and does things differently for us and whatever, man. It's just great. I loved it. Awesome. He was a great guy, and I'm serious. I want to bring him back on. I would like to do it during the season, like midpoint of the season next year.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Figure out where players are at and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, but if you want to reach me, you can reach me at Baby Hebner on Instagram and Twitter. And then, of course, you, RJ, can go ahead and plug our very, very important people.
Of course. So we, JD Hoop does absolutely phenomenal work. And not even just for this show. He does a great graphics each and every week. Ring gear that I'm sure you'll be seeing coming soon next weekend at Royal Rumble. He does other show graphics. He does his own photography. Absolutely phenomenal. Give him a follow. AJ McKay, just such a great dude. Both of them, really. And I'm thrilled just to have him part of this team. His show note, his information is in the show notes as well. You can follow the show across all your social medias at Reffing It Up on Twitter and Instagram. And definitely looking forward to next week. We dropped a hint earlier in the show, but next week we'll be having OVW's own former tag team champion for the WWE, Mr. Doug Basham, will be joining us next week. Brian, man, I can't wait. It's probably been quite some time since you chatted up with Doug, right?
Oh, it's been a while. And you know, I worked with him when he broke in, when he was breaking in with me.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff. I can't wait. We'll talk everything and anything OVW. All his stuff he does over there. We probably will have to bring up, unfortunately, Daniel Spencer. But anyway, and Jimmy will be back. So we'll have a solid episode. But geez, guys, thank you everyone for joining us here on Reffing It Up.
Yeah. And we'll see you here next Wednesday on Reffing It Up.
1, 2, 3.